Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Happy Monday. I'm Greg Hahn, President and Chief Investment Officer for Winthrop Capital Management. And in our studio, which is really our conference room, our production coordinator. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
And with me is Adam Kunz. Hi, Adam, head of trading.
Good morning.
Winthrop Capital Management. I got to work on that intro, don't I? In me. So how'd you guys do this weekend? Good weekend?
Good weekend.
Start thinking about your garden.
Lots of hard work.
I'm trying. I'm going to end up just going to the store and buying stuff again. I can't plant seeds to save my life. But we got a lot to cover here. A lot of good news last week. So first, let me kick it off on the economy, and then we'll talk about some of the earnings and what's going on in the capital markets, Adam. But we are seeing real evidence of this rebound that we've been talking about in the economy. We saw retail sales increase last week. The March number came in at 9.8%, which is obviously supported by the stimulus checks that hit. Because remember, March, it wasn't long ago that March's retail sales numbers had dropped 3%, but clearly benefiting from stimulus checks, warm weather, and an improvement in the job market. So we also saw last week the job gains numbers. So the Labor Department reported the first time unemployment claims had dropped now to 576,000, so a significant drop. This is the lowest level since the beginning of the pandemic. So I think we have really two strong points here in evidence of the economy opening up. And we think it's just beginning. We're going to start to see more and more, especially in the service hospitality sector, beginning to open up as the vaccines take hold. We got the issue with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, but the expectation is that comes back online this week.
Yep.
So I think the number... Did you guys see this, that over 50% of adults now have at least one shot?
Yep.
So we're making a major push in our population to get vaccinated. Another note before we talk about earnings was the airlines. So I think it was American Airlines reported that they are close to 90% of pre-COVID capacity. So that would be 2019. They're operating at 90%. And Delta has recovered 85% of its domestic leisure travel, and expect that to improve through the summer. So another good data point. So with that, let's talk about some equity earnings.
Yeah.
We had a lot of financials last week, Adam.
Yeah.
Why don't you kick us off?
Yeah. Big week with the big banks. Really, the big driver continued to be trading. So as you saw, equity markets rally, bond market volatility picking up, new issuance in the last quarter was pretty steady. So you saw the big money center banks do well. J.P. Morgan came in at $4.50 per share, which was much higher than the $3.10 expectation, and revenue beat by almost $3 billion. So good quarter for J.P. Morgan. Goldman Sachs was kind of the leader of the pack. Earnings came in over $8 a share, better than the estimates. So revenue at $17.7 billion. Was better than the estimate of $5 billion. So you're seeing a lot of this is, expectations, a low bar, and really the fact that there weren't clear signs of what these banks' earnings would look like. So you saw some really big beats as just kind of the street was trying to figure out the year-over-year numbers. Bank of America was the same way, and Citigroup both released with big beats, both on the top and bottom line. Like I said, largely driven by increased trading volumes. And then you even saw, obviously, on the wealth management side of these firms doing even better as, once again, equity markets continue to rally.
Yeah, it's like the wind to the sails type of scenario, because we got the positive, the steepening yield curve.
Yep.
We've got the improvement in the wealth management business, because in the wealth management business, you basically fee off of your market value of your portfolio assets. And it's largely weighted to equities. So as the equity market does well, the revenue generated from those wealth management businesses does well also. But in the particularly in the Citigroup release, but I think across the board, we also saw a release on reserves.
Yes.
So the loan loss provision, there was a release that helped the benefit earnings. But what really struck me about Citi's, you know, I've been a bank analyst my whole career, and Citi back in the late 80s and early 90s was like the global bank, and it was so difficult to analyze because they were in every market.
Yes.
So they've pulled out of the Latin American market several years ago, and with this earnings release now, they announced that they're pulling out of 13 countries, including China, Taiwan, and South Korea. So if you're not competing in these growing markets, it's really a statement about the shift in their business model under their new CEO.
Yep.
I think that was interesting. And then BlackRock. Did you see BlackRock? So BlackRock releases earnings, and they're solid earnings. But what's always impressed me about BlackRock is their assets under management went up again. So they are $9 trillion of assets under management. So, you know, the U.S. economy is $20 trillion. Right. It's almost half. The assets represent half of the U.S. economy. It's just stunning. So anyway, Adam, what else is on your plate?
So last week we went through our sector models and sector allocations and as a group in our investment committee. And, you know, some of the big changes were that we actually moved financials back to equal weight after we've seen quite a big run and the valuation there become quite a bit more expensive and already really kind of baked in that steepening of the yield curve. We remain overweight in technology and communication services, but a slight shift in kind of reducing how much overweight we are to communication services and increasing that to technology. On the real estate side, and this is a difficult one, we moved to equal weight as we've been underweight and adding incrementally, but we're doing it carefully because if you look at the indexes, they're largely overweight to the technology type REITs.
Yep.
And really what we want to capitalize here is on that move back into offices and residential.
Yeah.
So that's the way we're playing that. And then on the industrial side, you know, really looking at this move towards infrastructure spending and capital spending. So remaining overweight in the industrial sector going into this next quarter.
What struck me as we went through our sector discussion last week in our investment committee was how concentrated many of these sectors really are now, especially with the movement that S&P made, now it's been over a year,
right,
in reallocating some of these companies into communication services that were in the technology space before. But these large companies like Amazon dominate consumer discretionary.
Right.
What was interesting in the REIT sector, you mentioned real estate, in the REIT sector, American Tower was the dominant
right
company there. But that one actually, once you remove that, was probably more diversified.
Yeah.
As manufacturing is also, we didn't have a dominant player in the manufacturing space. So
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, when you look at technology is made up of two companies, make up 50%, communication services 50% is two companies, and consumer discretionary is two companies make up half. So yeah.
So the re-rack of our sector exposure in our asset allocation, how do you reconcile that with this rotation that's taking place out of technology into the recovery, COVID-affected stocks, value stocks, whatever you want to call it, cyclicals? How does this line up with what we're seeing in the market?
Well, one of the big things we did, and you just kind of hit on it, was in our consumer discretionary sector, we moved a sleeve of that into the equal weight consumer discretionary. So that plays into that rotation into quote unquote value stocks or those COVID affected industries. And then even in the banking sector, we know we've kind of added to more equal weight, which capitalizes on the smaller banks that are seeing an increase in consumer loans and C&I loans. So that's how we're playing is finding those equal weight ETFs that give us exposure to the companies that have been beaten down.
The REIT sector, we talked about REITs there just a second. So last week we saw Kimco acquire Weingarten. So
yep.
Those are two debt issuers too that we own.
Yes.
Both the bonds on both those issues. We don't own the stock. We own Simon Property, and we've looked at adding to this REIT exposure because we're underweight. We want to get it back to neutral. I thought this was an interesting play. It's that growing Sun Belt area, and it's also two, I think, real strong strong REITs, but it's in that grocery store anchored retail, which just got pummeled.
Yep.
So it looks like a slight premium over the market. I think they said it was an 11% premium over market value. So that's one that I want to dig into a little bit to see if there's some value in that stock. All right, what else we got?
Bond markets.
Oh boy.
So you hit on it. Strong retail sales. The CPI number came in at 2.6, which is slightly above estimates, and yet we saw bond yields decrease over 10 basis points. So the 10-year is now 156.
Why did bond yields go down?
So two big things. So if you dug into the CPI numbers, the bond market didn't like two big things. One was that core CPI remained pretty stable at 1.6. And really that was because the 2.6 number out of the general CPI number was really all dominated by gasoline. Gasoline was up 22%. And the bond market said, well, that's really immaterial. Transitory is the word that you like to hear often. And then secondly, when you looked at real earnings out of individuals, actually on a year-over-year basis was down 4.8%.
Mm-hmm.
And really that highlights the fact that if you took away stimulus checks to people, this economy is not sustainable.
Right.
And so the bond market saw those two things and said, I don't know if inflation is really on the way.
Well, and that's what Chairman Powell's been saying.
Yeah.
Is that we need stimulus, we need fiscal stimulus, and that they're not backing off the gas pedal until we're really over the inflection point.
Yep. And so, Powell kind of pushed his narrative out that they would not increase interest rates probably until 2024, which essentially just means they're never going to, right?
I think the point in time that they will is when this thing is really
gets heated. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that the key there is we're going to look at jobs. So people are back in the job market. We're going to deal with some, they're not going to be inflationary. I think there's structural issues that we just have to navigate through, including putting 8 million people back to work.
Yeah.
And then the supply chain issue, working that out, especially with overseas trade with China, particularly, is getting some of the supply chain stuff back online, the semiconductor shortage.
Yeah.
It's just been disruptive.
It has.
To manufacturing and to employment, not to mention that we got this virus, right? So this is the cause of the structural issues. So, Prince Philip, did you watch the?
I did not. No.
Well, we actually did watch that. It was I just love the pomp and circumstance of the royal family. You know, I was looking at their castle, thinking that's a lot like the castle I grew up in. Amazing, just amazing lifestyle. So. Yeah. Anyway, what's on tap for this week then?
I mean, obviously we're knee deep in earnings season, so that'll be a big driver of both equity and bond markets. So that'll, like I said, on the typical earnings will move stocks around, but last week we saw heavy issuance out of the banks post the earnings. So we'll see more of that this week. We expect to see a couple more banks with bond deals. And then obviously as we just get into the industrials and tech sector.
What happened with, so we had some really, really big bond issuance from J.P. Morgan and Bank of America.
Bank of America
last
massive.
Week.
$13 billion deal out of J.P. Morgan and $15 billion out of Bank of America, which were just huge record-breaking deals. J.P. Morgan deal came way overpriced, and so you saw bonds actually widen by 5 basis points now.
What are they going to do with the proceeds?
Unclear. General purposes is what they said.
They're going to buy back stock.
Yeah. And that's,
it's coming. Here it comes. This is the...
That's my guess as well.
The insanity of, I think, what we're about to see. And then Morgan Stanley, their earnings, they got tagged with this Archegos loss.
Yeah.
If you back that out, it wasn't too bad.
No, it wasn't bad if you back that out. So this is a one-time deal, but definitely an impact.
But that and Credit Suisse got...
it's ugly there.
...tagged with that. So it's... So it's going to be an interesting week because we got more earnings, and I think get ready. I think the market's going to be looking at, I bet you we're looking at some kind of stock buyback type discussion.
Yeah, because I mean the Fed backed off on those restrictions, so I completely agree that's going to be the big driver.
We'll see. All right, thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you through the week. Have a great week.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.